Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thanks so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're here for another listener question show. We had to record this one a little bit early because today we are sadly getting off the Disney dream from the Be Our Guest podcast 5 cruise. We had a great time, I'm sure. Thanks to everybody who sailed with us. And all this means is we're getting ready for Be Our Guest podcast cruise 6 at this point. We've got a great listener question show for you today, recorded a little bit early, but lots of fun content on today's show. But don't forget, today's show brought to you by our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go, WDW. Days to Go lets you count on the days until your next Walt Disney World vacation with style. Of course, I'm in the middle of an epic Disney Cruise Line and Walt Disney World trip. So thankful for this time to spend with my great friends and family. So I don't have a countdown going right now, but as soon as I get home on July 9th, I'm resetting this great app for Marathon Weekend 2020. And I'll probably go down before then, so who knows. But I'll put that date in there so I have a countdown going. I'll get excited every time I look down at my iPhone to see a text message or post to social media or even get a phone call like old school days, and you can do the same as well. So check them out. Great apps for your Apple device over at virtualmickey.com. Please support the show the easiest way possible. That's anytime you shop on Amazon. Click through our Amazon affiliate link. It's beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. You'll get all your Prime benefits, cost you absolutely nothing extra, and each purchase does help support the show. So if you don't mind, bookmark it on all your devices so you don't have to worry about it next time. It'll just be right there in your bookmarks bar, or right there in your favorites, and support the show each time you shop on Amazon. Again, it's beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1506 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com. And for a few short hours from the Disney dream, I know they're kicking us off again today, but no worries. It's actually good for your social media if you want a virtual vacation because I'm back on land where it's cheaper. It's actually free with my plan. So I'll be posting pictures between Port Canaveral, and today we check in to Disney's Yacht Club Resort for some fun down at Walt Disney World. So check in for that at Be Our Guest Mike on Twitter and Instagram. We're going to have a good time with that. And of course, on Facebook here. But of course, we never leave you without a podcast in your feed. That would be sad if you just refresh. And like, it's always been there for 11 years. What happened? Them slugs? No, we wouldn't do that to you. We just record out of order. So to record out of order with me today, we have Ricky from a Disney World After All.com, touringplans.com, and The Mouse for Less, and just recorded the mouse bits for the week as we're getting ready to do this show. So she is like warmed up and ready to go. What's up, Ricky?
She is, and she is excited to tell everyone to remind you to tune in on the 5th, July 5th, for this kickoff of our Be Our Guest podcast, Give Kids the World fundraiser extravaganza. So we are going to be live from Give Kids the World. And we are going to be there with President Pamela Landworth. We're going to be getting a behind-the-scenes kind of look at the village. We're going to have a great time. And this is, like I said, our kickoff to our extravaganza, where we are holding not one, not two, but 3 live shows this year to benefit Give Kids the World. We're going to also hold 3 separate auctions as well. So if you have auction items, this is a reminder. If you have auction items for me for this year's extravaganza, please email me at bogpauction@gmail.com. That way I can keep everything straight. We're going to have some awesome things for the auction this year. And also, 3 different live shows. I mean, you get 3 times the Be Our Guest podcast fun. I mean, I think that sounds awesome, right?
Yep. 4-hour live shows 3 times throughout the year and 3 opportunities to raise money for Give Kids the World. So we're just trying something a little different for the 10th anniversary. So Ricky puts that all together. Thanks, Ricky,
for doing that. Can you believe we've been doing this for 10 years? That's crazy. And it's awesome because this year we are partnering up with Magical Wishes for Kids, which is a 501c3. They are the ones that do the Indie Disney Meet. So we are partnering with them for this year's 10th annual extravaganza. So yeah, it's going to be fun.
And also, last call, we're having the big Be Our Guest podcast meetup. It's a salute to all Disney podcasts, even this one. But mostly the Be Our Guest podcast. Yes, I'm wearing my Wedway Radio shirt as we record today. So come on by and we're going to do selfies and have a good time meeting and greeting and seeing everybody. Everybody can meet each other. And we'll try to do a big group photo at around 8:30 before the fireworks. We'll be in Japan, 8 o'clock. Be there or be square, as my dad used to say, I guess. All right, so let's hop into the listener questions. First question from the inbox coming from Matt Brown. He says, hey, Mike and team, huge fan of the podcast, and thanks for keeping me entertained on my 90-minute commute to work each and every week. Ricky, 90 minutes I have to go down the steps. I couldn't do that.
Wow, 90 minutes. Oof. Oh, my goodness. That's crazy. Awesome. I mean, that you have that time to listen to us, but, I mean, that's a lot of commute.
The houses we've been looking at, because we are selling the Be Our Guest Podcast Studios. Podcast is going to be okay. It's going to move with us, so no worries. But, yeah, the houses we can afford have about a 90-minute commute from my wife.
That sounds about right.
It's going to be rough. All right. He says, I need your help with breakfast or brunch ideas on our last day in Walt Disney World before heading to the airport. Our flight isn't until 2 in the afternoon, so I was hoping for a nice sit-down meal before catching the Tragical Express. Our departure day falls on a Sunday, and I was really hoping to secure a reservation for the California Grill brunch that everyone raves about, but unfortunately, no availability. Any other suggestions to cap off our 2019 vacation for one last great meal? Our party includes 4 adults, 3 kids that are all under 7. Thanks again. Keep up the great work. Matt is in Morristown, New Jersey. All right. Mm-hmm. They need to fill their bellies. It sounds more like because you got to get on Magical Express so early now.
What time are they leaving?
They're leaving it. Their flight's at 2, so they're going to have to be on Magical Express. Like, they'll have to be back to their hotel by about 10-ish, you know, 10:30. You just don't want to miss the bus, because it is a bigger issue than you might think. So
I think you're missing brunch. Yeah, I think you're going for breakfast at that point.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So what do you, and, you know, the thing is, you're going to have to get an early breakfast. I would say, like, just to cut it, you know, like an 8 o'clock, 8:30, maybe ADR. But where would you suggest? I don't know where they're staying. That would help, but it doesn't say.
I was going to say, where are they staying? That would be helpful. I mean, I would say wherever you're staying. But, I mean, maybe Chef Mickey's, maybe, you have to do a resort, I think, for that. Chef Mickey's is the best one that I can think of, just as like that grand hurrah type thing. Maybe 1900 Park Fair, because they have a really good fun character breakfast. Yeah, it's going to be tough, because you're going to have to be at Magical Express so early. So,
I mean, if you're lucky,
it's definitely going to be a breakfast.
Yeah, if you're lucky enough to be staying in a deluxe resort that has a character meal or some kind of a nice breakfast, I would just take advantage of that, because then you don't have all the logistics of getting, because you're gonna have to use Ubers and stuff probably, because you're gonna go resort to resort or minivans. But
they have to be there. Magical Express will pick them up at about 11.
Yeah, I mean, maybe before that, maybe like 10:45. They push it up so much. But also, I would say I'm a big fan, and I've been talking about this Garden Grill. Well, you don't want to go to a park, I don't think, so that would be out. But I do like Garden Grill for breakfast. But also, the Lilo and Stitch, Mickey and Pluto breakfast over at Ohana. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
One.
Now, for those who are looking for a good Sunday brunch that actually can take advantage of the brunch opportunity, of course, there's Homecoming. They do a fantastic brunch, which we are going to get to experience. And I've never done it.
Oh,
I'm excited. Dude, no.
You are, like, you walk out of that place. At least I did, because I have no self-control. Like, I walked out of that place and, like, I already had 9-1 pushed in on my phone. Because I'm like a millimeter away from just needing 911 to come get me. I'm in so much pain from the food I ate. It was so good. Because the waiter even told me, he's like, I gave him my plate was clear. He said, man, I've never seen anybody finish their plate. Like I said, just done it for 3 weeks. He's like, you're the first. I'm like, well, I'm just hungry. I ran this morning. It's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. Yeah, I was dying. It's so good. So good.
I'm so excited. But the other option that I was going to say is Wine Bar George. They started offering a brunch option as well, that I hear is pretty fantastic. So those are a couple of brunch options that I think, if you have the opportunity to do a Sunday brunch, that you should consider.
All righty. Well, have a good time. Let us know how it goes, what you pick. Because I always, you know, we throw these questions out. We give some suggestions, but it always, you know, when we hear practical advice, it helps us in the next 1,500 episodes as we go. Mm-hmm. We'll see. All right, Chris has got a question here, Ricky. It's a romance type, wedding type question. Ooh. That we were in that industry for years. She says, yes. What special honeymoon features does Walt Disney World have? Anything that's not commonly known? My blanket thing with that is, I mean, this is one of those pure cases of money talks with Disney that...
Yeah, that's true.
When you're on your honeymoon, if you have enough money, they can really make a lot of things happen that are not widely known. You know, they're like, what do you want? You know, it's the sky's the limit with if the budget's unlimited. But, you know, I don't know exactly what kind of things, but I mean, they have like that. What does Disney like officially do that wedding registry where people give you money towards your honeymoon? That's kind of cool.
Yeah, thing. I think they do.
They did.
They do.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can do maybe have a pontoon boat ride, or like if you're really looking for something really fancy, the Grand One. You could do spa
horse-drawn carriage over at Riverside.
Horse-drawn carriage, that's a good option. You could go to the spa and do a nice romantic, you know, spa treatment. There really is just a lot of things that you can do. I mean, definitely get the buttons that say we're celebrating, although, you know, now it's
they don't say honeymoon anymore, do they? Yeah, they don't say honeymoon anymore. It's so weird.
It's just so dumb. Just put out the extra. How hard was it?
Come on.
Look, they're selling the buttons now that say like all the fun little things. How hard is it to just make an extra button that says, honeymoon
for real,
anniversary? It's not that expensive to split those up. But anyway, I digress. You can also make sure you get the bride and groom ears. I think they still sell the groom. Yeah, I'm pretty sure they still sell the groom ears. It's not as fun as when Brian and I got engaged, though. I lost my ears, which makes me very sad. I don't know where they went, but we have a top hat for Brian,
which is
adorable.
Yeah, I had that.
Yeah, but they don't sell that anymore. They sell like a tuxedo, you know, Mickey Mouse hat now, I think. It's not nearly as cool as Brian's top hat, which I love. Get the bride ears. I think that because then people will really know that you're on your honeymoon instead of you just wearing the celebration button, and it's a little harder to tell what are you celebrating. If you have the bride ears and the groom hat, they're definitely going to know what you're celebrating.
I'll tell you what.
And put it on all your reservations too. Yeah, yeah. So all your dining reservations and things like that. I mean, I can't guarantee that they will give you something, but just having that there helps in any way, shape, or form.
I remember that top hat, because like I said, I don't think they sell them anymore, but they did. And it was hot.
Yeah,
it was putting an oven on your head. Oh, yeah. It was so hot. But, you know, you do it because you do it.
Yeah. I still have it's sitting in this room. I have it up on the top shelf hot. Over here. So,
all righty. Thanks, Chris. The next question's from Chris. I guess, Crystal, maybe arrival day, need to exchange military certificates for tickets. What's the best way, transportation and ticket place, to do this if coming from Animal Kingdom Lodge to the Magic Kingdom? So I guess they have to exchange your tickets, I guess, maybe at the TTC or possibly the guest relations.
Any guest relations should be able to help you. So if you go or actually they may send you just to a ticket window outside of the park, like, you know, right out in the front of the park too. So that might be an option. If you do go to the TTC, the ticket window should be able to help you. Otherwise, guest relations at the Magic Kingdom proper will be able to help you too. So either one of those is going to be the best place to stop.
All right. Shout out Dennis in the chat room. That's right. This hat is rocking today. The Stanley Cup champion Saint.
Oh, I got to get Brian one of those. He wants that hat, actually. He really does want that hat. I got
to
get him.
Well, you know what? It was like impossible to get in St. Louis. My wife ordered it online as we were clenching, like within 5 minutes of the puck of the
celebration. I should have done that. I should have done it. I didn't. Maybe in a couple of months they'll be available again.
Just so you know, you're not in St. Louis, but just so you know, like, it's so funny because like we won the Stanley Cup, so you know where Houdershell is because the kind of like thoroughfare that we live on. There's like 20 different people selling like out of tents, like bootleg shirts and hats and banners and all that stuff, like in every parking lot. It's so Hoosier.
Yes, I love it. Yes.
Anyway, I just had to say, they just closed shop. Yesterday was their last day. They said, you know, going out of business sale. I guess the party's over. So that's it.
I guess so. Yeah.
Sarah's got the next question in the inbox. Hey, Mike, Ricky, and Pam, quick question. My family is headed down to Walt Disney World in October. We'll be there for my daughter's 9th birthday. We are giving her a surprise present, Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween tickets for her big day. Our table service meal that day is for Chef Mickey's. My kids and husband have never been. Will they do something special for her if I request? Is ordering a chocolate Mickey cake worth it with all the buffet desserts? Only 832 miles from Ripley, Tennessee to Walt Disney World. Thanks, Sarah. All right, so here's what I say. She's on the right. First of all, your daughter's getting a way better present than I've had like in the last 50 years. So that rocks. I mean, think about it. She's going to the Halloween party and go to Chef Mickey's. Come on.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
It's going to be hard to bid when she turns 10. You're in trouble because 9's pretty sweet.
Right?
I will say she's on the right track. I would let them know it's her birthday, and they may or may not. This is one of those things, just like Ricky just mentioned. They may or may not bring her something like a cupcake, you know, a complimentary. Right. Maybe, maybe not. You just got to roll the dice. I wouldn't do a cake at Chef Mickey's because they have great desserts. And think about it, if you're going to the Halloween party that night, you are going to walk out of there with like 10 pounds of candy.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. Yeah, that's true. That's true. I would, if you want to get her the cake, I would maybe do it a different night. You know, that you're not doing a buffet and not going to Mickey's not so scary Halloween party, because that's going to be a lot of sugar. Plus, those cakes are pretty decent sized. I mean, all things considered. So you may take it home with you, and or they may offer to box it up for you. And I don't know how, you know, I'm not sure if they'll deliver that to your hotel after that point either. So you'll probably have to carry it around or throw it away. And that's a lot of money to throw away. So yeah. I say do it at another time when you have either the capabilities to take it back to your room or something else. But that's a lot of sugar in one night. So don't do it that night if you want to do it.
Girl, that is a sugar high. But I mean, when you're 9, who cares? Go for it. I don't know.
Oh my gosh.
No, but do it a different night. That's the best advice. You're going to do it. Don't do it that night. That's just too much.
Yeah. That's too much. Yeah.
And trust me, I'm a guy who doesn't usually say it's too much when you're on vacation. That's too much. All right. Here we go. Next question is from Holly Kesterson. Been listening and watching the show for years and years. Glad to have her in here. It says, twin 9-year-old nieces and my 6-year-old niece are headed to Walt Disney World next month for their first trip. They only have 2 days in the park. Should they do 2 days at the Magic Kingdom with midday swim breaks, or 1 day at the Magic Kingdom and 1 day at the Animal Kingdom? They're staying at Riverside. First of all, yes, they do need to swim at Riverside. That pool's fun, and that is the perfect age. They love the pools as much as they do the parks. Ricky, what do you say? 2 days at Magic Kingdom or split up Magic Kingdom, Animal Kingdom?
I say do the two different parks. You know, get a little bit of get a little bit of flavor of both parks. I think that's probably a really good option, but that's just me. So
that's just you.
Yeah. What do you think, Mike?
I would say the same. Because I mean, it's not just the kids that are going; the adults, and the adults kind of need a little variety too.
Right.
You may as well see both.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. Oh. There's not a wrong answer. I'm trying to think. I'm going back and forth in my mind. I would go to both.
But I would probably do both just to get a little extra flavor on my vacation. So that's what I would do.
Okay, we're going with that. All right, Spencer's got a question. Good old Spencer in the chat. I already asked Ricky this, but I want Mike's opinion. Going to Galaxy's Edge the first weekend it opens, what time should I be at Hollywood Studios to make sure to get in?
We had a big discussion, and after he pointed something out, I was like, yeah, you're probably right. So go ahead. Let me know, Mike. What do you think?
This is going to be tough, man, because we don't really know like exactly what they're doing yet admittance. I mean... If it's going to be some kind of a virtual queue, that's going to, I'd imagine, I mean, what's going to happen is people are going to queue up outside the park itself and then mad rush Galaxy's Edge is my guess at this point. But again, we're recording this a little bit early. So by the time this comes out, remember, we're on a cruise ship. I'm sure this is like bad information. But if it's like I'm picturing right now, that it's kind of like getting your iPhone on launch day back in 2010. You just want to kind of watch the social media and kind of try to get a pulse on if people are showing up at midnight, if people are showing up at 10 p.m. the night before as the park closes, camp. You know, it depends how important it is for you. But
my theory is it also depends on what time Disney lets you start camping.
Yes, because they will have to announce that, I would imagine.
Because if they let you start camping like the night before, then yeah, that's fine. My thought process is they wouldn't let people start getting in until, you know, maybe 4 or 5 in the morning. But then again, I don't know, because it really depends on how they want to control crowds. So at this point at recording, it's still a little too early to be able to tell. So that was kind of the discussion that we had. He decided that like 2 o'clock in the morning is when he was going to try to show up. I was like, okay, well, that sounds probably a good time to go if they let you go that time in the morning. So it's all going to depend on what Disney allows you to do, though.
And if they pester you, just tell the security guard, say, man, they let us get in queues for Disney races at 2 o'clock in the morning. Why can't I camp out? They put us out here all the time. You know, when it's exactly. Around Disney weekend, they don't care. All right, next question. This one's a little bit longer, but here we go. Hang with me, because it's titled Coronado Yay Trip Questions, because I love me some Coronado. Okay. All right. Hey, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. Let me preface this by apologizing for so many questions, but I know you guys will give great advice. We're headed to Walt Disney World in October.
Do we give great advice?
We give advice.
Sorry. Yes, there you go.
We are headed to Walt Disney World in October for 8 nights at Coronado. So excited, as this is my first time staying at a moderate resort. My nieces will be visiting with their dance studio to perform at the World, and we were able to get 4-day, one park per day tickets through the studio, which my husband surprised us with. That's just what I just did for cheerleading. Same thing. I was hoping to purchase additional park days, but not sure that is going to happen this time around. I'll be traveling with a large group, but on some of the non-park days, it'll be myself, my mom, my 3 girls, who'll be 5, 3, and 1 at the time of the trip. We are definitely Walt Disney World veterans, but I've never stayed at Coronado or had so many non-park days. So, and it's all in caps with a bunch of O's. A few questions slash new to us things I'm considering. We'll be doing some Disney Springs and a couple character meals at hotels. One, we are looking forward to some pool resort time at Coronado. Is there a splash pad type area or playground that is good for younger ones? Ricky, have you stayed at Coronado? I think you have, right?
No. I have never stayed at Coronado. No.
Oh, that's, man. Missing out.
Sorry. I know. Dude. It's on my bucket list.
Okay, I'm
I
just saying. Have it make on sure the it's list. Up. Move it up. All right. So let me just answer this one. Yes.
I stayed at the Grand Floridian.
I know you do. Whatever you snot. What if Florence knock it off? She's getting a big hit.
Exactly. Yeah. She doesn't have DVC at Coronado yet.
You'd have to slum it over at Coronado.
Exactly.
I hate you. All right. So anyway, yes, they have a great.
I'm slumming it at Pop Century here.
Hey, I love weekend. Pop, man. I'm excited for Marathon Weekend. That's where I am. I'm pumped. Anyway, let's get back to her question. So there's a great playground there that's right adjacent to the swimming pool. The dig site pool and splash type area. I'm almost positive. Yeah, there is. It's not real big. It's not like as nice as some of the ones, but yeah, there's a splash type area over towards the where the slide comes into the pool side of the pool. And the playground's the opposite side over by the bar. Or not the bar, but the little grill. It's a bar. Mm-hmm. It's a pool bar. Number two, is that ironic though? The pool bar is on the same side of the playground so you can watch your kids?
Yeah, why not?
Maybe, you think about that. That's probably why it's there.
You know, yeah.
Number two, I was thinking about spending some time at Fort Wilderness. I've never been. Probably bus or to the Magic Kingdom, then boat over. Yes, that's what I would do. Minivans and Ubers don't work for us with the car seat situation, but we will also have a car. Thinking of wagon ride or a pony ride and possibly eating at Trails Inn. Any other ideas there? Is there a playground there? Yes, the playground there rocks. I mean, it's awesome. So your kids love that. Trails Inn, awesome. Wagon ride. Ricky, were you on the wagon ride, the big BOGP wagon ride?
That was fun. Awesome.
That was awesome. That was really cool, too. I love that. So we did that one time. So again, it wasn't that expensive either. I mean, Disney expensive, so it was reasonable. Well, yeah. So what else? I mean, I definitely say go over to Fort Wilderness, let the kids run around.
I think that would be fun. At Disney Springs, keep in mind that they do have a splash pad. So make sure you bring, swimsuits or something because they're probably going to want to play in that. That's something to keep in mind. I'm trying to think of what else. I got nothing. Sorry.
Yeah.
Not
I mean, just being over there is fun. But yeah, a wagon ride or a pony ride would be fun. All right. Just two more questions.
I think because the pony rides... I mean, watch the kids go out on the ponies. That would be adorable.
Yeah, would be
and
cool.
There's the Cinderella ponies over there that you can see because you've got the barn that's there.
Yeah, where all Tri-Circle the ponies D.
Are. Yeah, Tri-Circle D Ranch. Thank you. I was like, what is the name of that barn? so you can go see all the ponies over there, too. I would do that.
This is what happens when we record during the morning instead of...
Exactly. I'm not awake yet. It's fine.
All right, number three. Was debating on adding on one night at Pop Century at the beginning of the trip to do the Halloween party. We did the MNSSHP, the Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party, with a 2- and 1-year-old, and they were afraid of the parade and fireworks, so I'd probably focus on characters and rides with maybe a little trick-or-treating. In your opinion, would you do this or add on an additional one-day park ticket? Not a lot of difference in price. My thought is that with the crowd projections, maybe we could get more ride time in with less crowds and less stress, but... getting a one-day park ticket would give us more hours in the park. Okay, so here's her question. I get what she's saying.
Yes.
You're not really focusing. This is kind of weird. You're not focusing on the Halloween aspects of the Halloween party, but you're rolling your dice on smaller crowds. You get more time with a one-day park ticket, but you get maybe you can be more efficient during the party. I would totally do the party if they're close in price because you're going to trick-or-treat. It's just a cool atmosphere, I would say.
Yeah, but they're little.
Yeah, that's true.
So
yeah, that's true. They might fall asleep at 8. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, I don't know how late like they're going to stay up. Like if you're only at the party for a couple of hours, like if you leave by 10 or so or before, like you're missing out on so much. So I would maybe consider the park day ticket and then go, you know, even though the crowds are going to be a little bigger, you're not going to have to run up against the bedtime issue of having such little ones.
Dang, I was thinking as an adult, my kids are older now.
I know. You had the right idea, you know, but she's got little ones, so.
Yeah, I guess
I do.
See,
I pay attention sometimes.
You do. I'll give you credit. All right, our next question. If we do add additional days with a separate ticket purchase, how do fast passes work? Can I make them for all days under the hotel reservation? Or would each four-day park ticket have a different start date? My sister and her family will be using their four park days with us, but the days in the park are not consecutive, so it'd be best if we can make fast passes at the same time. So basically what happens is, if you have tickets, so it's kind of tricky. You got to have your tickets, first of all, linked to your My Disney Experience account, okay? And it knows how many days worth of tickets you have. For example, let's just use four. If you have four on your check-in day, 60 days prior to your check-in day, you can make fast passes for 4 days, right? Am I saying this right? Because it's early. You can make your fast passes for 4 days worth of tickets at 60 days out. So that's how it work.
Yes.
So if your sister, I'm trying to read this, but if her sister and her family have different, slightly different dates, they'd have to do it at a different date whenever they check in.
Right.
60 days prior.
Yes.
All right.
That's correct.
I wasn't sure if I was reading that right and then trying to answer it right. Oh, she has one last question. Has anyone visited Crayola Experience? I think my 5-year-old would love it. Wondering how long to allow for that. I've driven past it a few times and I've seen people online that look like they've had a decent time there for like a couple of hours. It's kind of like in a sketchy little old like mall that went out of business, right, Ricky? Because I know you drive around some.
Yeah, I don't remember if that mall went out of business, but yeah, it's. I've driven past it. I've never been in it, so
yeah,
I don't
same.
Know a whole lot about it, unfortunately. So.
But I've seen people give positive feedback online that have gone, especially with kids about that age.
Yeah.
So I mean, but you gotta realize. I mean, it's gonna take a lot of time to get over there and back. It's gonna be a lot of effort. So you gotta really want to.
Well, but
do
if
it.
They have those days where they're not going in the park,
that's true.
I mean,
yeah, look for stuff to do now. Park days.
Okay. Might as well. Yeah.
All right. She says, thank you so much for all you do. See you in Indy in September. Allison's in Noblesville, Indiana. So we'll see you in September 21. Be there. Be square. It's going to be fun. All right. Next question. Too many comments. Going so fast. Let's see here. Spencer asked that one. I'll move up to this one. And I just saw one. Here it is. It's from Alan Crow. We're going to Walt Disney World in June 2020. By the way, did you know you can book 2020 packages, Ricky?
You can. Yes, you can.
I think I've single-handedly filled Pop Century for 2020 already. Just saying. It'll be four parents and three kids. They're 18, 14, and 5. We want to do a dessert party to get a prime spot for the fireworks for the 5-year-old and splurge a little to celebrate the 18-year-old's graduation. Be careful. Make sure you plan that. Make sure that everything's going to be happening. You're celebrating that early. I'm just kidding. I love making people freak out about their kids' graduation now that I've been a parent.
Yes.
Which fireworks dessert party at which park would you recommend? I'm going Happily Ever After. I like that dessert party. That garden viewing area is awesome. And it seems very VIP. I've done that. And I've done Illuminations too.
Yeah, I was going to suggest Happily Ever After. I think that's the better one to do. So easy. I think that was an easy answer.
I think so. Happily I think that's the best after. One for yeah. everybody. Kind of everybody like span the gamut there. And Jamie says, I don't know if it's he or she, but they said, my 4-year-old went strong until midnight for the Halloween party.
Nice.
Rock on. I can't make it to midnight anymore, so there you go. All right, Corinne says, I'm meeting a friend for a 4th of July getaway. We're staying at the Dolphin July 3 through 5. That means you need to be at the meet tomorrow night, July 4th. Salute to all podcasts, but mostly us, Japan, 8 o'clock. Anyway, she'll be driving in from West Palm Beach on Wednesday. I'm coming a day ahead, and we'll try to grab a value resort that night so we can get an early start at the Magic Kingdom on Wednesday. My question is, will one of the values transfer my luggage to the Dolphin, even though it's not an official Disney hotel? I want to say negative on that.
Yeah, I want to say no on that one. No.
Yep.
I don't think they will, because it's not technically a Walt Disney World resort. I mean, it is, but it isn't. So they don't, I don't think that they do that. Because, like, they don't do Magical Express and things like that. So I suspect that they probably won't transfer your luggage either.
Don't think so. All right, Jamie's back with a question. When is the first booking for Grandestino at Coronado Springs? Which, if you don't know, that's the new awesome tower over at Coronado. It is July 9th, I think, is the first night it opens because Pam's staying there.
Yes, she is. Oh. And I'm hoping that I can sneak over there before we leave that night, so that day, so to see what it looks like.
Oh my gosh. Cool. I know. That's sweet. I won't be there because we got to come home eventually. I mean, like 2 weeks is...
Right. Yeah.
I'm losing my Missouri citizenship, which I don't mind really, but you know, I mean, Florida's like you're here too long. Get out.
Yeah.
See, Mark Vickers says they're listening from Nottingham, England. We love the Be Our Guest podcast. Please give my kids Caleb and Imogene a mention. It'll make their day. Ricky, do it. Make their day.
What's up, Caleb and Imogene?
Love it.
So excited.
All right. Yes. Thanks for listening over in England. That's so cool. I've never been.
I know. That is awesome. What's up, fam? Excited that you're here.
That is so cool. Yeah. All right. Sarah has a question here. And she says, hello, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. Love the podcast. Never miss an episode. So thanks so much for all your hard work, good advice, and entertainment. Well, 2 out of 3 ain't bad. We try.
Yeah, exactly.
So I've heard that you can book a room-only reservation by phone 499 days out. First of all, is that 499 days from check-in day? Second question. When you call the book, do you lock in the rates they give you? How does the deposit work? Thanks again so much for everything you guys make. The long, and she has lots of O's, countdown, more country bearable. See what I did there? See, that's why I couldn't read it, because you're so sly and clever. I was like, what country bearable? I get it. Apparently, you don't have to be country bearable much longer.
I don't want to think about it. It's not true, but everything I keep seeing indicates that it probably is, and it makes me sad.
I know. The 3 people that go see it a day are going to be so sad.
You know we're probably going to be seeing it this weekend, right? Like,
It'll be packed.
I have to know it so that I have it forever, right? Like,
I thought that show was one of the biggest traumas of your childhood, besides Scary Adventures of Snow White.
Like, it was serious. That's why it has to stay, because it was the biggest trauma of my childhood, and now it is not anymore. So, yes.
All right. Sarah's down in Texas, by the way. So, I forgot what her question was after we did. Okay, yeah, she's about 499. When you're booking the 499, okay, so right now is good because it's actually still all in 2020 at this point because of how the calendar is. You can always do 499 days, but it's from checkout day. So it has to be like the entire length of your stay has to be 499 days out. So it's not check in, it's check out. And the deposit is just the first day's, you know, the rate for the first day. The average rate. It's one night is what the room only reservations stay. And same for like the 499. All right, let's see if we can get one more question in here. Do we have any? Let me look in the chat here. I don't think we have any in the chat. Good. And people are complaining, you know, worried about country bears. So that's kind of good, because that's I really don't want it to go away. Oh, here's a question about country bears. Do you want me to do it? Let's do it.
Yeah,
all right, I found one in the inbox. BOGP crew, while this is addressing the Country Bear Jamboree rumored replacement, it can be expanded to other attractions such as the Tiki 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 Room.
Very nice.
I think Disney should be very hesitant with replacing classic original attractions, especially where Walt himself was involved and had knowledge of. Having said that, what if Disney, instead of a replace and retire policy, did a replace and relocate? If they were dead set on replacing Jamboree, why not move it to a resort that is suitable to its theme? Why not move it to Wilderness Lodge and incorporate it as part of the Whispering Canyon? I'd rather have an attraction relocated than retired and never see it again. If they were going to do away with the Tiki 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 Room, for example, why not just relocate it to the Polynesian? My thinking is that this will preserve the classic attraction while at the same time give resort guests an extra bonus. I imagine most guests who stay on property are more Disney fans than not, and they would appreciate this. Also, it might draw other diehards to Resort Hop just for the attraction. Of course, they'd probably spend money along the way. Having said this, do you hold an opinion that such attractions need to be preserved at its location, whether it is specific in its specific spot or park, or would you rather see it relocated and thus preserved? I listen to other Walt Disney World podcasts and will post the same suggestion and question to them to hear their opinions. I also wrote Iger and Chapek with the same suggestion. If this rumor is true, I'd rather see attractions preserved than retired. That's from Chris. You know what? Here's the thing. I love this idea, Ricky. I mean, I think this is the best idea ever. Yes, I'm 100% behind this. Yes.
Yes. I mean, I am too. The problem is that the current management team does not feel the same way. From my understanding, it's all IP all the time. Country Bears is not a billion-dollar IP. That's all they're building, is anything that has to do with billion-dollar IPs. I mean, they've pretty much come out and said that. So that's why we are not getting any attractions that are not based on IP. That's why they are replacing attractions that are classics like this, because they're not, you know, they don't have the ability to sell product that helps to, you know, people just aren't buying enough product for it. So unfortunately, that's why attractions that are classics are getting taken out, because they are not billion-dollar properties, which is unfortunate, because, you know, that's definitely not what Walt Disney World, Disneyland, and all that was, you know, based off of. They were based off of building attractions, you know, that told stories that were good, you know, they were good storytellers. Country Bears is a great storytelling attraction. It's maybe a little dated, but it's still humorous. It's still funny. It still gets the audience involved if you're in there. I mean, I think the problem with attractions like Country Bear or the Enchanted Tiki Room or Hall of Presidents, or, you know, any of those small attractions that have been there forever, is that people take them for granted. Yeah. Because they've been there forever, you know? So people don't think about going in there all the time, because they're like, I've seen it before, so, you know, I don't need to see it every single time. And I think that that's what hurts attractions like this. And it's unfortunate, because I like to get out of the sun, go see an attraction like Country Bears. You know, I see it just about every trip, every other trip, just to get, you know, in the middle of the afternoon when the crowds are high. And you need places like that for people to go to. And unfortunately, they don't all have to be IP-based. But the current management team just doesn't see that, because it doesn't equal profits as far as things that you can sell. And when you have someone who's in charge of the theme parks who is also in charge of the merchandise, it doesn't go well. And this is one of those examples of why it doesn't go well. And of course, I'm on my soapbox now, so I'm sorry, but...
Well, no, he has an opinion. I mean, that's what you gave. And I mean, you're exactly right. I mean, it boils down to, they can sell way more Forkies than they can sell Big Al's.
Which is unfortunate.
Yeah, I mean, it is unfortunate, but that's the reality that we're living in.
It is. It's the reality. And, you know, the heck with anything that Walt built, you know, or Walt had a hand in, because you can't sell country, you know, Country Bear merch. You can sell a ton of, you know, Woody and Forky, Buzz Lightyear, and, you know, and Bullseye, and, you know, all, and Jesse merchandise. And that's just, unfortunately, the climate of the Walt Disney Company right now.
And we've seen that over the last few weeks with the ticket price increases and, you know, adding a dollar to the parking. I mean, come on. You know, we'll talk about this over the next few months. Don't worry. Because, I mean, we try not to get negative, but, you know, we got to be real. You know, I mean, I know that they're building great properties, but, I mean, they also have to be real with us.
There's definitely a difference between negativity and realism. And, you know, unfortunately, sometimes the negativity skews into realism, but, or vice versa, I guess I should say. But, you know, yeah, I think we have to be realistic as well. And so, unfortunately, I'm not looking forward to D23 this year now at this point. So
yeah, it makes me a little nervous. Trust me. Because, I mean, I'm all about the new stuff, and I always trust Disney. I always say, you know, we've been doing the show long enough that, you know, the Pirates went down, and it was like, oh, you know, Haunted Mansion is going to go through a big reefer. Well, I was freaking out, you know, but I was always like, trust Disney. We came out on the other side, and it was great. You know, like, they didn't change it in a negative way. They enhanced it, and I like it better on the backside of the stuff. So I always have faith in Disney, but, I mean, not saying it doesn't make me nervous, but God, Chris's idea, though, of the relocation is... it's so good. Like, I don't know why I haven't thought of this, because the thing is, like, you're right. like it would bring more character to Whispering Canyon over Wilderness Lodge. It would fit the theme perfect. It'd give you more of a reason. But here's the, and also Tiki Birds the Polynesian, like that idea as well. If it had to go away, I like it in the parks first of all. But if it came to that, it's a great option. But the problem is, they're not having a problem getting reservations at Whispering Canyon, and they're not having problems filling the beds at the Wilderness Lodge or the Polynesian. And that's the bottom line again. Like if it's not a huge revenue increaser, it'll never happen because it would cost money.
Exactly. And it wouldn't increase revenue. I mean, unless you charged for it to be able to experience it, it's not going to increase, you know, that's the only way it would add revenue to wherever, you know, to the resort. So the only way you'd be able to see those attractions would be if they charged for them at a resort. And that's plain and simple, you know, or change them into a dinner show, which is, you know, of course, what Walt wanted for the Tiki Room originally. But, you know, again, it's such a short show at this point. Like, nobody's going to be able to eat dinner, and they'd have to extend the show in order for them to be able to do that. And I don't see that happening either. So, yeah, it's.
Would it then become Showbiz Pizza? Like with the yeah, exactly. Billy Bob?
It would be like Showbiz Pizza. That's what terrified me as a kid, by the way. Yeah. So, anyway.
It's a great idea, though. So, thanks for sharing that, Chris. We appreciate it because we love just having the conversations. That was a great email. All right. We're going to wrap it up with that one. So, thanks a lot for joining us. If you got questions, send those to mike@brguestpodcast.com. And don't forget, today's show brought to you by our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great free iPhone apps like Theme Park News Disney Edition, great free app for your iOS device. Ricky, I know we're recording this one a little bit early, so we really can't hit the news too much. But you mentioned D23. What do we think in May come out of D23? Because we'll be reading about that here over the next few weeks.
Country bears.
Besides that, we've addressed that for 10 minutes.
The land and the sea is going away. You know, if you believe all the rumors, I don't know. I mean, honestly, you know, I don't know, because the rumors the last time ended up, you know, some of the crazier ones, like the Star Wars hotel, ended up being exactly true. So, like, now is the time that all these crazy rumors get dropped in, and you're like, no, and then it actually could happen. So, dude, I don't know what we're expecting at D23 this year, but this is the first D23 that I am not looking forward to hearing what comes out of it. I'm not looking forward to it. It's going to be, I feel like it's going to be bad. We're going to get some news about what's happening at Epcot. I know that, like, we are going to get news about like what they're doing with that middle section of Epcot. So that'll be good to find out. But other than that, I'm not looking forward to anything else.
So the question is, if you mute the hashtag D23, did it never happen?
I don't think that's how that works. No.
Oh, yeah. If only. Anyway, well, check out this great free iOS app, Theme Park News Disney Edition, free for iOS devices, and great other apps over at virtualmickey.com. Again, I'm back on land, Walt Disney World. Follow me on social media at BRGuestMike, Instagram and Twitter. Lots of pictures coming in every few minutes. Of course, BRGuestPod as well on Instagram and Twitter, and Facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. One last time, we'll see you at Epcot tomorrow night, July 4th. 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central. Sleep to all podcasts, but mostly the BOGP. So be there 8 o'clock. Big group picture around 8:30. We'll try to get that organized. And we'll be back again on Friday with another great show. So for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike. Wishing you a great Wednesday. Time to head back to work, or I'm heading to Yacht Club. We'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.
Start again with just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt.